Promise 43. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. 2 Chronicles 7:14-15. How great would it be to wake up knowing that the loving eyes of God were upon you, that his ears were all pricked up and attentive to your every need, your every prayer, your every whisper, that his hearing you from heaven would instantly unleash full forgiveness of sin and healing for yourself and for all the other people around you. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Also, wouldn't it be so powerful to point all people to a God like that, a God so rich in mercy and attentive to his sons and daughters? Wouldn't our worldwide Great Commission dreams of seeing all nations encountering him be accomplished all the more readily if we ourselves so encountered him? Well, then simply, as this promise so simply states, we need only humble ourselves, pray, seek his face, and turn from our wicked ways. That's it. That's all, just that. After which, everything I just stated in that opening becomes our reality. His hearing, forgiveness, healing, open eyes and ears become our natural atmosphere of life and living. In other words, if we would see the world see Jesus, if we would want to carry out the master plan, we need only heed the pointed words of these verses. But does everything I just said sound oddly religious? Like a litany of inward self-corrections and amendments? When you hear that language of just do this or just do that, isn't there a little part of you that knows you're destined to fail? Instead, let's be reminded of the context of these words when the Lord first spoke them to a human listener, and then we'll reframe our plan for encountering the glories of this promise. Here's the end of 2 Chronicles 6 and the opening of 7. King Solomon is praying. Now, my God, I pray, let your eyes be open and let your ears be attentive to the prayer made in this place. Now, therefore, arise, O Lord God, to your resting place, you and the ark of your strength. Let your priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let your saints rejoice in goodness. O Lord God, do not turn away from the face of your anointed. Remember the mercies of your servant David. When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever." When you read a promise like today's promise, with its seeming list of required inward self-helps, there's a temptation to buckle down, do the work, become the best version of your worshiping self, and expect to see the reward for your satisfactory religiosity. If only you would be humble, then he would hear. If only you would properly pray, then he would forgive you. If only you would seek his face, then he'd heal. If only you would stop that wickedness, then he'd open his eyes and ears. But that reading of today's promise totally forgets the actual reality in which these words were spoken to King Solomon, in eyeshot of the glory cloud of God's presence hanging above the temple he'd filled with himself. And did you notice the people's natural reaction? Down on their faces, humility. Did you notice the people's first action? Worship and praise in the form of prayer. Did you hear how they first praised him? With words that proclaimed the glory of his face. Do you get a sense of their next steps? in his presence to turn away from wickedness. My friends, if you desire to have your prayers heard, full forgiveness, healing all around you, to feel the eyes of God upon you, his ears attentive to your every word, then you have two options. One, you can muscle out the qualifiers for this promise from your own limited human strength, or two, you can reside in his glory. You can rest. You can let him do it. The most humble, prayerful, seeing the face of God, turned totally from all wicked ways people are the ones who've relentlessly placed their lives in the path of his glory. They have experienced Jesus, never turned away from experiencing Jesus, and today are only wanting to experience Jesus more. They have tasted of the glory of the Holy Spirit, asked for more of the Holy Spirit, and today are asking for ever more of the Holy Spirit. They are obsessed with the glory of God. They cannot ever get enough of the presence. Because having tasted, having seen that the Lord is good and gracious and wildly extravagant with his glory, they want it. They want nothing more and nothing less than everything he's willing to give them of himself. They want it all. Because seeing their inner lives all filled with the same glory Solomon once saw, they find that nothing now separates their lives from the life of Jesus. His humility, his way of praying, his seeking of the Father, his purity have become the natural way of their human lives. They are walking with Jesus now. They are beginning to walk like Jesus today. So, what do you think? Should we spend today bootstrapping our way toward obedience? Or should we get in the glory and live? Should we try our best and maybe only achieve our best? Or see all the best of what Jesus, by his Spirit, offers us? The choice today is yours.